up and you saw, Isabel, you lost your
goddamn marbles. Yeah.
Yeah, you were insane.
It's because I love Animal Crossing so much. And I see Isabel and I was like, oh, we're getting it. Oh, we getting it. Yeah. And like, I don't know. I just saw, you see Pete and you see her with a little letter, and I'm like,
fuck. The second Pete showed up with the letter, I was like, oh, yeah, this is the villager letter situation.
Yeah, this is a smash thing.
Yeah,
this is a smash. You want me in smash?
Yeah. Isabel turns over a new leaf.
So cute. Yeah. So cute.
Not nearly as sinister as the villager.
No. Yeah.
Like, she has a genuine smile and genuine presence where villager will consume the souls of children.
She's so fucking precious. It's ridiculous.
The thing, like, someone pointed it out on Twitter, and I don't remember who it was, where they took a tutorial character.
Yeah.
A character who takes your hand at the very beginning of the game and leads you through the basic steps of how to get started, and she has now become one of the faces of the franchise in general. And so fucking neat. That's so cute. I love it so much. I would die for Isabel.
Oh shit, we're recording. Hello everyone, welcome to the Think Between Worlds podcast. Oh, fuck. My name is David.
That's Madison over there. Say, who are you now?
I'm Isabel's number one stan.
You're hyped.
I'm hyped.
What the fuck?
That
is
was
a
the
stan?
Answer I was hoping
a stan?
For.
Stan? Wait, is this that Eminem stan? Is that what everyone's referencing?
A little bit, yes.
That's not cool. That guy killed himself. Why is that a thing?
What?
Stan was a big fan of Eminem.
Oh, the song Stan.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know what was happening.
But people on Twitter.
They have a real thing. I guess people are calling themselves stans down instead of fans.
People on Twitter and just kind of on the internet in general have taken the term Stan.
Yeah.
And they turned it into like, I am the biggest fan of
the diehard.
This. Yeah.
Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Anyways, yeah, I'm Derek. And, well, yeah, what were you guys doing over your summer vacation?
Well, I was playing video games and, you know, working.
That's about me too. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
A lot of work.
I agree.
I actually started reading again though, which is kind of nice.
Ooh, what were you reading?
A lot of soapy, sappy young adult novels.
So fan fiction. Gotcha.
No. No. Don't expose
by me. Another name, yeah. Yeah, I got into like reading, catching up on the comic graphic backlog.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, and then with the Spidey Man. With Spider-Man coming out on the PS4, they had like the huge Spidey sale on Comixology, so I bought a fuckload of all the stories people kept telling me to get. So right now I'm like reading, even up to now, this has been the past couple weeks, but up to now I'm reading Scarlet Spider, which is not about Peter Parker, it's about his clone, Ben Reilly.
Nice.
So it's just a lot of fun to see a Spider-Man clone. Like, I'll make a living for myself in Las Vegas. And he's a little different because he's, like, violent and all that good stuff. So.
Yeah.
Hooray!
Yes.
So this is, like Nightwing versus Red Hood kind of a difference between Spider-Man and...
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah, Ben Reilly will, like, save somebody and be like, hey, oh, my God, what can I give you? And he'll be like, oh, I don't know, like, you got $100? I don't have a whole lot of money. I got 50 right now. Great, give it to me. All right, and I better get that next 50 next time. Like,
oh, shit.
Yeah, like, and then he'll consistently hunt that person down. Like, hey, you got my other 50? No, I've been looking for a job. I've been trying to get a job as a dancer or whatever. Like, well, there's plenty of dancing jobs here in Vegas. I bet he's kind of like Deadpool. It's like, wow. It's,
fuck.
Yeah, kind of sadistic, but he's still an anti-hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really completely evil.
Sounds a bit like an asshole.
I've been kind of going through my backlog on Netflix as well.
Oh, yeah. I've been catching up on some of the weirder things on Netflix.
Yeah, I'm just kind of jumping all over the place.
I rewatched Pandorum, which is, you know, it's a Dennis Quaid movie. It's one of those forgettable things. But, like, what have you been doing for video games, sweetie?
Me?
Yeah. Doing anything interesting?
Animal Crossing.
Of course.
That's all I play anymore.
No? Not even Kirby?
No, I was going to say, I restarted today on Kirby Star Allies.
Wait, you have a PS4. What are you playing there?
Let's see. I played a couple more levels on Crash Bandicoot.
Sexy.
Yeah, the very first, because I have the Insane Trilogy. I bought it when it first came out, and I'm slowly working my way through the first game.
Nice.
Just because I'm fucking have no time these days, but I played Crash Bandicoot. I'm trying to think. I also started back in on Overwatch, and then I lost 6 games in a row, and I was like, all right, I'm never touching this again.
No.
So I was like, all right, bye.
Never give up. Never surrender.
I love Overwatch, but I got in there, and just I kept dying and dying and dying and dying in every single freaking match. I was losing it, and I was like, all right, I can't do this.
That's why I don't do online games.
Yeah, I get you.
I'm sorry.
It's just...
I've tried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you're late to the game. Oh, I had to wait a while. I ended up busy with work. And, you know, I'm 6 months off, but I finally got to this game. Like, yeah, good luck. Don't even go. Don't even go to matchmaking because you're just going to get destroyed.
Yeah.
Like, if you're there day one, your skills increase kind of incrementally along with everybody.
But like, right. But like in Overwatch, you don't really play like Madison. You don't really play like the.
I don't do competitive. No.
Yeah, you just play like free play.
Yeah, I do. Fun. I do free play and quick play and stuff. And sometimes I'll end up with people because I'm like level 45 or 46 or something.
Nice.
Which isn't high, but it's not low either. But I'll get into matches where I'm facing off against people who are in like the 80s and 90s and level terms.
Yeah.
And it's just like I can't fucking move without dying. Like, I get sniped, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 shots and I'm gone. Fuck. I'm like, motherfucker.
Normally it takes longer to recharge a sniper rifle, but damn.
Yeah. Well.
One. Two.
Yeah.
So, season 2.
Season 2! Welcome back, everybody! Sorry, we're just rambling a little bit. We've been away for a while.
That's fine.
But this is the first episode of season 2. We kind of wanted to recap what we went up to over the summer vacation. Over the month and a half, yeah, 2 months we're gone.
Like 6 weeks, 7 weeks.
Yeah, something like that. But still, we wanted to sort of recap what we were doing. Like, Derek, what have you been up to?
Well, I think we're going to be titling this video after the subject matter.
Yeah.
So there were a couple of indie games that I got into.
That you got into?
Got into? I see. It's funny because Nick does that a lot. Have you ever noticed he does that?
Yeah, but he does it to accentuate like a funny point.
No, he'll do it. Like, if you ever pay close attention sometimes, it'll be 20 sentences in a row, and like, this is overeating or something. You'll be like, oh, I don't think he knows that does this.
Maybe we shouldn't expose him on the podcast in an episode he's not in.
Drag him!
Yeah. So, yeah, well, I was just kind of like working today, and this guy just came in kind of like, whoa, he does that a lot. So he's a literal tick.
Everyone here is waiting. What is the thing you've been
doing? Yeah, anyway, we are talking about The Messenger, a great smash hit indie title. Speaking of Smash, that'd be great to have a ninja character in Smash.
It would be interesting.
The Messenger or
but
Ryu Hayabusa.
Do we need any more?
No, not really.
Swordman.
Well, we don't have a ninja.
Sheik.
I guess, yeah, Sheik counts,
kind of, yeah.
Well, I'm just needing...
But there's the Messenger.
Smoke bomb disappearing, the sneakiness,
Yeah, I get you.
The only thing that Sheik doesn't have that most people who are sneaky have is an obsession with feet.
Oh.
I am very sneaky, sir.
Very sneaky. So there's the Messenger, and then there's the other smash hit, and this one...
Hollow Knight.
This one's about to go multi-platform.
Oh, yes.
Very close to Xbox One and PS4.
Unfortunately, I'd like it if it was only Nintendo. That way...
Gives it that edge.
Bigger chance for getting this character in Smash, because this character is really fucking cool.
The Messenger is sitting pretty on the Switch, like, only. Well, PC. These things are also on PC.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Hollow Knight was PC only, and then it kind of... Hey, the devs went, hey, let's put this on Switch because it's kind of the indie machine at this time.
Yeah,
so they basically slapped it on the eShop mid-July. I think it was early July. Some maybe late June, somewhere around there.
So, well, Derek, what's The Messenger about?
Yeah, I'll take The Messenger, and I guess you'll take Hollow Knight. We both have it. We'll do the split.
Sweet.
You don't have The Messenger, so I have to do The Messenger.
Because I'm poor.
Yes. So, I like how I just said, yeah, I'm like, yes.
Anyway,
so
move on.
Yes,
moving right along.
Poor. So The Messenger is a Ninja Gaiden revival of sorts.
But it's, Derek, what's Ninja Gaiden? I'm kidding.
Yes. Well, Ninja Gaiden was one of the premier NES trilogies.
Yes,
three games. But it was one of those premier.
I had it.
Yeah, everyone. I think it kind of came with your consoles. Your consoles would kind of come with five cartridges.
The NES.
You'd have Castlevania. No. I think the one we got did at like a Costco or wherever the hell we got it.
Yeah, my mom bought the console and then a bunch of separate games over the years.
Okay, so your mom bought them. It kind of seems like everybody that you talk to, it's like the games mysteriously came with the console. Because everyone's like, it seemed to me
mom
like that.
Mom went to places like Games for Less, which is
you had to find
now them. Out of business. And so
I always imagine that everybody just kind of got their system. And like these games always magically came with it.
My mom sounds also, like the beginning of a creepypasta.
Yeah.
My mom
where did
also,
those five games come? Everyone had the same five games in the pile. And like, where did those five games come with? With every Nintendo.
My mom worked at a Toys R Us, so that made sense.
Oh, that, yeah. Okay. Because it seems everyone's like, oh, well, I had Balloon Fight in Castlevania and the Super Mario Brothers. And you're sitting there like, yeah, and Ninja Gaiden. And then you're sitting there like, everyone had like the same six games.
We still have our NES with like our 40 different fucking games.
Yeah.
Did you know that in Animal Crossing, the what is it?
The GameCube one?
Yes, Animal Crossing population growing. In Animal Crossing population growing, you had the ability to like, earn these cute little gaming systems like in Animal Crossing New Leaf, but you could play original NES games.
Ooh.
Fun fact, everybody.
Yeah, I did know
they're talking about
hidden virtual console.
Yeah,
well, speaking of virtual console, we have that coming out soon with the Nintendo Online.
Yes.
Sort of, you know, in quotations, virtual console. It's not an official one, but yeah, they've got all the NES games coming there, apparently.
Right.
Fingers crossed.
And it's like only Netflix. Like $40 a year?
$20 a year.
$20 a year?
Yeah.
Good Lord, that's so cheap.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's like $4 for like a week.
Catch me in December buying
Switch. No, it's $4 for a month.
A month.
And then it's like $12 for 6 months. And then it's like $20 for the full year.
Catch me buying a fucking Switch in December. God damn.
Yeah, and it comes out with, and if you get that, you get the free download thing. I
like
think
PS4,
with
PS4's, or the PS Gold or whatever is like $60 a year.
Yeah,
and I don't know.
True,
and I don't know how much Xbox is.
It's about $60 a year.
Okay.
But the thing is that like, with those, you get like two full free, like high HD games.
Yeah, you can't. You can with PS4. The thing is, or at least mine didn't come with that. Mine came with, you had the ability to buy games for free or get games for free instead of
Plus
paying
or
the,
gold. Or,
yeah.
But like with the Switch, apparently it's just going to be like old NES games.
Yeah.
Like
but they've added
Super
like
Mario
save states
and
they've
Yoshi
changed some things up apparently.
Oh, okay. That'd
yeah.
be cool.
They've added like save state and then I think you can even rewind certain things if you fuck up?
Don't know.
Yeah,
I haven't. It's
well,
not
everybody,
out. It's not out yet.
Yeah, everybody's kind of like, well, what does it entail? And it's like, oh, it allows you to. I've literally argued with other friends, like, they've given us nothing. Like, yes, they have. Well, what does it do?
Well, the,
what do you mean, what does it do? You're going to pay to be able to play online.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but, like, why should I buy it? What does it entail? What rewards am I getting? Well,
you can play online.
Yeah, if you don't pay, you will not be able to play Splatoon 2 online.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there almost pulling my hair out.
Well,
it entails nothing.
But
just
here's the thing. Everyone wants to know, like, yeah, we had online before. Why are we paying for online now when it was free before? And the main thing is stability. You're playing to have dedicated servers that will make it so your games don't crash or you don't get dropped from a game mid-match.
Yeah.
Stuff
for
like
server
that.
Maintenance.
Yeah.
You're
quality,
looking
quality
you're,
of server maintenance.
And
exactly.
I imagine that's
you're paying for upkeep.
You're paying for on the go as well, I imagine.
On the go?
Yeah. Are they not okay, maybe that's something. Maybe I don't know. But
well, I mean, as long as you can connect to Wi-Fi, you can play anywhere. So yeah.
Oh, it's not like a thing in the Switch?
No.
Oh,
that'd be great. Like they had those things back, like in the mid-aughts, where you could just like buy a thing from your cell phone company, slap it in your laptop, and have internet access anywhere.
Hotspot, yeah.
Yeah, but
so back to fucking ninjas.
Sorry.
All right, fighting the demon hordes.
Yeah.
In the messenger.
I'll have you know that we were talking about ninjas and that led to NES conversations.
NES. No, that was a good segue. Like, I was like, how are we going to segue out of this?
Speaking of fucking ninjas.
Speaking of the ninjas.
I have never fucked a ninja once in my life.
Well,
thank you very much.
You shouldn't be able to. They're nigh uncatchable and
only
unseeable.
I
kind
of fuck one ninja. Anyway.
Ooh, wait, no, hold on. What is this?
Hold on, guess.
Dish.
You'll never see him coming.
That's Wendy.
Hmm?
You'll never see him coming.
I was thinking of like Iron Man 3. I don't know.
You'll never see him coming.
Because he's a ninja.
Because he's a ninja.
Who's a ninja?
It's a play on words.
Ben Kingsley is not a ninja.
No.
I'm just saying, like, the royal. The
it's a play on. It's her. A pun. It's a pun.
Who's a ninja though?
Nobody.
I'm confused. You okay. said you wanted like, to maybe, fuck maybe a maybe ninja. Maybe
I fuck a ninja, and I'm like, yeah, you'd never see him coming.
I get the joke there, but you said you wanted to fuck a ninja. And I wanted to
know. Oh,
who it was. Oh, that was your question.
Oh, I thought you were trying to get the pun.
No, no, I get the joke. I'm trying to understand who it was. Who's the ninja?
Ninja Brian, Jesus Christ.
Oh, Ninja Brian.
That's funny. Ha ha.
I get that. He's got a great beard.
Anyways, and continue.
Beautiful so, family.
I'm thinking of like Dark Man of the Pink Elephant, if you please. I'm like, the messenger, if you please. Like, let's just get on track here for the love of God.
Yeah. No!
Good God, man. All
right, so anyway.
The messenger is...
We are the premier distracted podcast.
Yes.
There you go. That should have been our fucking podcast title. The premier distracted podcast. God damn it. Fucking trademark that, copyright it right now. Let's go.
I'm going big with this. The messenger, it's the next shovel knight.
Really
calling it now. Yeah, really? It starts off as a sleek platformer. It fools you that it's 8-bit, but it's, you know, got parallaxing and all sorts of, it's got like
advanced,
it's got like eight colors
parallax from Green Lantern.
The background moves along with the foreground, or they can move in entirely separate ways from each other.
I actually
like
didn't know that term.
Yeah, and it's like eight more colors than the NES is capable of, so it's kind of like Shovel Knight. Shovel Knight fools you into thinking that it's a retro game, but it's really kind of like, it looks like a retro game, but it's got a lot of modern
It's
a mock-up, yeah. So the messenger is that. You're a ninja. I'm just a ninja living in this post-apocalyptic future where the only thing left is this island, and everybody on it's a ninja, regardless of race or whatever. And you're sitting there waiting for like this hero from the West, this predestined hero from the West is going to deliver me a scroll. And then this guy comes flying and like, yeah, here's your scroll. Uh-oh, look, here cometh the demons. And then you just like run off with the scroll and you got to make your way through like six levels.
You guys, it's like the top of a mountain or something.
Yeah, so
right?
You go from village and you go through all the usual trappings. You go through the swamp area, you go through the lava place, you go through the icy mountain towards the end. And then they unveil their big fucking twist that there's time travel. Not only is there time travel is represented in shifting from the 8-bit and 16-bit eras. So, but I mean, in the story, they justify it. You're jumping 500 years to, 500 years from, to and from, to and from. And then that's technically kind of like a post-game. Because, like, you get to what you think is the end of the game. And that's when they're like, oh, no, there's actually more to this. Go ahead and you'll see what we're talking about. Go jump over there now that you've defeated us, the sages that sent you on this journey. And then you're like, wow, I'm like 16-bit now. And you play two more levels and then you fight like a general of the underworld. And then you're like, hey, you've defeated the general of the underworld. Now you can be one of us, the sages, because that's all we do. What do you mean we? That's right. We're all messengers just like you. You know, and you're like, whoa, you guys were previous messengers? Because then you learn you come back all the way around from the West 500 years later and deliver your scroll to like the newest messenger, who's like a more futuristic looking ninja with like Uzis. And he's really cool looking. He looks like Snake Eyes from G.I. Joe. And so you're kind of sitting there like, hey, that's kind of cool. That's a cool twist there. And even your own ninjas, like the messenger's like, whoa, I understand now. It's like this like never ending cycle. And it's like, yes, we too were once messengers. Now quickly go into the shop area because you have this shop you can visit. And it's like, go open up that cabinet over there that I told you not to open up 500 times if you try. And you open it up and there's like the blue cloak. And you're like, oh my God, I get to be the shopkeeper now. And you're like, yeah, you get to be the shopkeeper now. And then,
aww.
Yeah, you spend like 5 minutes just sitting in the shop. It's like the new ninja, the new messenger's coming in and out, like instantaneously because you exist outside of time. So whoosh, hey, take this grappling hook. Yeah, it doesn't matter, you know, just have it. It's a freebie on me because game progression, whatever. Whoosh, comes back in. Whoosh, hey, you're back. Oh, this is getting really tiring. Oh, I get it. I'm seeing him every time he comes in and, you know, I'm outside of time. So to me, it feels instantaneous. But to him, it could have been weeks or days. Yeah. And then, like, he doesn't come back. And it's like, hey, where's my messenger? And the other blue cloak guy comes in and goes, hey, how's your messenger doing? Yeah, he was, like, coming in and out, like, all the time. And now nothing. Yeah, did you dispatch Quarble, the demon that saves you from dying? Oh, what? Yeah, who do you think's been dispatching that demon that saves you from death every time you die in this game? That was me. Oh, your messenger died. Great. And so it's like, You gotta be the messenger again, dude. Here, you're gonna have to go journey through the land all over again. And what? Yeah, you're gonna have to go collect all these things. It's kind of, now it's gonna be a collect-a-thon in a Metroidvania. What?
What?
Second big twist, second big reveal.
Now, wait a minute. What's a Metroidvania, Derek?
It's a combination of the word Metroid and Castlevania.
Cool.
Yes, a Metroidvania is a large exploratory region you're going to be exploring. You're going to be going, you usually get a large map and you go, hey, look at this map. Oh, okay, so I've kind of gone through my opening hub area because you'll naturally find your way through there. But along the way, you're going to find, oh, red door, things I can't pass. And then your map's going to begin to kind of get larger and larger. You're going to have to remember, you know, oh, I got to go back to that red door with something that'll help me get through that red door. So yeah. It's also a game of progression.
Okay.
Not so much exploring.
Yes. So like in Metroid, like you have to collect every power up in order to progress in the game.
Right.
And I think the same thing applies for Castlevania as well.
Usually, yeah.
Usually. Like you have to get a certain item to defeat the big boss.
Right.
Kind of a thing. So that's why, and they're like the most definitive games in their series, in that genre of games.
Yes.
Metroid and Castlevania, which is why they fuse the words together.
And there's a slight difference, because like then what's the difference? Well, Castlevania is, Metroid is more about exploration and ambience.
And backtracking. A lot of backtracking.
Castlevania is more about the, you're confined to one space. You're confined to Castle Dracula.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So that was always kind of about showing off, hey, you know, we can get really big here, and you're kind of all in one location, and it's about feeling like you're doing this in one night, place.
I think the exception to that with Castlevania was it Symphony of the Night where the castle flips, or?
I think, I'm not sure. I know Symphony of the Night is when it became, where you earned upgrades, and it became like Metroid, because before that, Castlevania was just a platform.
Because there was one I think you told me about where, like, you get to the final boss, and you beat him, and then, like, you hit a button and the entire castle flips upside down. And then for the first time in, like, Castlevania's, like, history, you had to backtrack through pretty much the entire castle.
God, I don't remember which one that is.
Yeah. If you know what it is, leave a comment.
Right, it's like Rondo of Blood, or I don't know. I could be. Symphony, I only ever got halfway through Symphony.
I remember you told me about
it. And it must have been Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
I can swear. But yeah, Ninja Gaiden.
The Messenger.
Easy mistake to make. The Messenger becomes a Metroidvania.
Nice.
Cool.
Halfway through. So go collect, do a collect-a-thon. You're going to need a couple of new abilities, and then you're going to truly be able to finish this. You're going to be able to access the final boss and fight him, the Demon King.
Yeah.
Was the collecting and stuff easy enough in the Messenger?
Yeah, there's a lot of, the reviews are they're favorable. People really like the Messenger.
Yeah.
But they're always like, yeah, but then it slogs and just becomes a chore when it turns into that Metroidvania. And like, I completely disagree.
Oh, okay.
It remains high octane all the way through, and it's really not an issue.
Yeah.
Well, I guess like the difference between a game where you have to collect things being a slog and being actually, you know, like a good game, like keeping you engaged, the difference there would be like the music and the difficulty.
Yeah.
And so like I'm sure with a game like this there's bound to be ranges in difficulty. Especially after you get to a certain point where they unlock all the previous levels. So
right.
Like, when that happens, the levels get any harder, or are they exactly the same they were the first time around?
They're pretty much, they don't get any harder.
They don't add any, maybe new enemies or anything?
No, it's just, end up...
New time portals?
It's, like, a little difficult, because sometimes you end up going kind of backwards, and you're like, ah, this is so much harder going down the mountain than going up it, holy crap. Hmm. Or you forgot how you even got up in the first place.
Yeah.
But what keeps you going is, like, the humor and the characters, and mostly the humor characters, music.
Humor, you say?
Yeah, it's got a lot of humor. It's a very, very funny game. It feels overbearing at first, like way over the top and really, really annoying to the point where it's just like, I'm not sure I'm going to like this, but then it kind of becomes
endearing. Yeah.
It gets like really good, really, really funny. Like I was mentioning the demon that they dispatched, like you don't die. This demon appears at the last second and kind of like sucks your soul up and then brings you back.
Hmm.
Yeah. And his name is like Horrible. And he says,
Jinx.
Under a roof, it doesn't count.
He says sarcastic things when you die, and they're context sensitive, and one of them's even like, something tells me you're just dying at this point so that you can show your friends all the context sensitive things I can say when you die. And yeah, you're like, oh, this is hilarious. And the shopkeeper is a complete winner. I love this guy. I think the twist is that he, like, at the beginning of the game, that messenger that shows up to give you the scroll, like, I think that's him.
Okay.
I guess we're led to believe. And so he just kind of sits there sarcastic, and he'll tell you a tale. He'll tell you parables, actual parables from real-world cultures
Ooh.
Throughout the game if you just ask him.
Like what?
the origin of the word salty.
Oh.
Which is cool. A really, really good one. But he's mostly, you know, he breaks the fourth wall constantly. And it's like when you first meet him, he's like, here, take these, the climbing gloves here. They have like a really special like ninja name. And you're like, oh, neat, climbing gloves. Like, oh, of course you'd call them the climbing gloves. Because of course you don't even care where they're from or what they're called. And it's kind of a fourth wall like breaking. Like, you don't care what the technical name is for something in a game. You're going to call it the grappling hook.
It's a super meta joke. Yeah.
Well, or the jumping boots.
Like
or,
for instance, like, what was it? In all the other freaking Zelda games, it's the hookshot. And I think in Twilight Princess, it's the claw shot.
Right.
I still call it the hookshot.
People kind of, they'll find their way.
Yeah.
Oh, these are the double jump boots. Oh, and not that you care that they're called the
space jump boots.
The kabuki tri boots or, you know, the complicated Japanese name suit. You're just going to call it the wingsuit. Who gives a shit? Here, take it. It's free. Yeah, it's really funny. Yeah, but I like the tale of the bird salty, because you could just go in and kind of be like, yeah, tell me a tale. Like, all right, yeah, here's a tale. So once upon a time, there was the yada 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 a long time ago, and there was this mini little windmill that somebody had wished for from little tiny elves. And that windmill could produce anything that the heart had basically desired. So this kind-hearted soul gets it and goes, I'd like to produce some bread for my village. And he's able to produce bread forever and so on and so forth. But he has a sister who gets jealous that everyone loves him and he's able to provide, and he's the philanthropist. So one night she sneaks in and steals this little tiny windmill, and she begins to kind of sneak away at sea to go to another country. And she's on the boat and she goes, okay, let's try this out. She knows how to activate it. So she starts spinning the wheel to the right and salt, do salt. So it starts pouring out salt. Problem is, she never learned how to stop it by turning the wheel the other way to the left. And so the salt began to mount and mount and mount and mount. And then the boat sank and she drowned. And at the bottom of the ocean is this windmill that continually just pours salt into the ocean to this day. And that is the definition of the term don't be salty.
And no the need origin to be jealous. Of the Dead Sea, apparently.
Yeah, right. Or you're not worth your salt. And then the ninja's like, man, that's really deep, man. Like, yeah, you're right. Yeah. And like your ninja, I love their portraits because the ninja's always looking out of the side of his eyes. Almost like sarcastically. And sometimes they literally kind of... the shopkeeper will say something and there'll be ellipsis. And they're just like looking at each other like, what? Yeah, the humor is, it's endearing. Like, it'll keep you driven. You meet a dragon named Manfred.
Mm-hmm.
Manfred?
Yeah. Not his real name. He chooses the name Manfred because he wants to be a butler. So later on in the game.
But he's a dragon.
But he wants to be a butler.
But isn't he like huge?
Yeah, he's like a serpentine, like a Chinese dragon.
So how would he be a butler for a person in the house?
He can be anything he wants to be, as long as he puts his mind to it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, Isabel. Okay.
You have a cuphead.
You're so positive.
You have a cuphead bullet hell level, like later on. It's not that bad. And then you literally fight this giant, like, robotic butler. And, like, the dragon's like, oh, no, it's whoever. Who is this? He's the greatest butler who ever lived. Oh, my God. And, like, I'm sitting there just cackling and dying over and over and over again. But I did beat it, and I thought that was hilarious. So, you know, the games, I put it on par with, you know, Shovel Knight in terms of atmosphere and humor and fourth wall breaking. And I definitely claim, I'll go boldly and say it's as good as Shovel Knight.
That's awesome.
I think by proxy, we're going to bring Shovel Knight into this.
Well, I'm not going to lie. All right. Originally, this was just going to be an episode about, you know, nindies and, you know, indie games that we liked playing on Switch. And
Did you just say nindies?
Yes, I did. It stands for Nintendo Indies. Yes.
Oh.
What if it did?
Okay.
Well, it could stand for, like, Nintendo underwear. I don't know. Nundies? Nindies?
Right, like, what if not?
Yeah. Yes, but no, like, originally this game was going to be about those kinds of games, but we realized, like, during the break, we played a few of these games, and we should talk about them,
like,
in particular.
Specifically, yeah. Just like these consumed a couple of weeks.
I know I helped you get through a level in your game of Shovel Knight for your PS4.
Yes, yeah. I couldn't get through the very, was it Spectre Knight?
Spectre Knight's.
The boss, yeah, the boss level.
What's the name of the fist level? The graveyard? Lichyard.
I couldn't get past him because I suck at video games.
You don't suck at video games. You just don't have the patience to keep playing them.
Yeah. Well, I also feel like there's
After you die five or six times, you give up.
There's also, like, in my head, and I know I don't think there is for Shovel Knight, just like I don't think there is for the majority of games. I feel like there's a death counter in the stupid game, keeping track of how many times I die, and the more that I think about it, the more I'm like, I've died so many times. I can't do this anymore.
Derek, don't tell Madison, but there totally is.
Yeah, there is. And, well, and the messenger especially.
You're supposed to whisper because that way she can't hear us.
Oh, good. Oh, there's a death counter.
I was about to be like, hey, let's bring this back to the messenger where the little demon Quabra goes, you've died approximately 453 times now. You really should visit the shopkeeper. I hear he sells upgrades.
Oh, good.
There's that little lady underneath the shop at the town. Like, if you go downstairs.
Oh, yeah. She knows? Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah. It's like a little witch.
Yeah, don't tell Madison.
Granny. It's like the same thing with fucking Rayman Legends. That's the other one I'm playing. I'll get to that in a second.
Well, speaking of dying five or six times, Hollow Knight.
Yes, so Hollow Knight is the game I will be covering for the majority of this.
Because you're the one that's been playing it the most.
Well, I didn't. Derek's beaten it. I haven't beaten it, but I've been playing it, and I just keep getting fucking stuck. It is hard. Like, it is as hard as Liam Neeson's cock. That's it.
We're going to go there, are we?
What?
It's a Hollywood Babylon joke.
The Boys Club kind of
thing. Yeah, it's another podcast. Apparently, Liam Neeson has a famously large penis.
The actor. So they say.
I know who the actor is.
Okay.
Well, we're not talking about the actor. We're talking about Liam Neeson's penis.
Yeah, just.
I thought we were talking about Hollow Knight.
We are.
Let's get back
but
to
that's,
Hollow
Knight. But that's how difficult the game is. The game is just so fucking difficult. I got stuck on that wizard boss, the guy who, like, dives downward at you.
The Soul Master.
Yeah, Soul Master, for, like, 3 fucking weeks. It was ridiculous. In this game, you play as like a little stag beetle character.
Yeah, it looks like you're kind of based in underground insect world kind of thing.
I think you're in a tree, like the roots of a tree kind of a thing.
Gotcha.
And it's just like you're going around exploring, and this map that you're exploring is, for one, gorgeous, for mainly being like black, gray, and white.
Mm-hmm.
When they do throw in color, it's just fucking like, mwah.
It stands out.
Yeah, definitely. Especially like in the green place?
Green Path.
That place is gorgeous. The crystal caves, the purple crystal, yeah, purple crystal and pink crystals. Crystal peaks.
I think that.
Yeah, that sounds right. But you know, you're going through these levels and it's just fucking beautiful.
Yeah, it's got like a hand-drawn thing going on.
Definitely.
Feels like it's like Tim Burton meets the Triplets of Belleville.
And as you're going through trying to explore like the caves and figure things out, you're discovering all this lore and all these new creatures. And I swear, like, if we could do an entire episode on just Hollow Knight talking about the lore.
No, there's a lot of lore.
But to be honest, like, that's the kind of thing I don't want to spoil because it's so fucking deep and rich.
Oh, I was just about to ask you what the TDLR of the lore was.
Well, it's this. No, every NPC you talk to, everyone feels like, it's not like they're communicating with your character, the vessel. That's what it's called, the vessel. The Hollow Knight's actually the boss at the end. He's another vessel, but you're the vessel. And any NPC you talk to, any shopkeeper is like bleeding lore. Like it's like they don't even acknowledge your existence, which I think that's part of like your character. You're just kind of like this wraith in between worlds. But everyone's like constantly mumbling to themselves, like, oh, long ago when the bricks spoke and the great pale king put masks on those so they couldn't scream for the screams of the souls. Of the, you get the idea.
Yeah.
But it goes like on and on. You're like,
what the fuck?
And you're like, can I buy a fucking charm or what? Jesus. Oh, hello there. I was just spewing lore about the world you're in.
Yeah.
Up here in Dirtmouth.
And the people in the game kind of speak with like a little, like a rare type style, but they don't have like the repeated noises, but it's very similar.
Yeah.
You know, sounds like interpreter.
It's like their own language, bug language. Yeah.
It's like Animalese from Animal Crossing. Yeah.
A little bit. Not as repetitive as their sentences sound, though.
It sounds very much like a language, because it'll be, "Kay, what a saw?" And you'll be like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have inflection.
Wasn't this game made like 2 people?
3 people in Australia.
3 people in Australia.
Oh, I thought it was Canada.
Blame Canada.
And this was like a Kickstarter game or something like that, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking gorgeous. It's definitely a Metroidvania. Because there are certain areas you can't get to without collecting the required upgrade.
I need the double jump wings, and I need the dash, and I need to be able to pass the thing.
I recently got, like, the super dash, where, like, you hold it, you charge, and you just burst across the screen until you hit a wall.
Yeah, until something stops you.
Yeah, and that is by far one of the coolest things I've done in the game. I'm accessing areas I haven't been able to get to before, and It's awesome.
Dude, it's a huge map. It's like, speaking of Metroidvania, it's got to be 5 Super Metroids large. Because I went back and just kind of looked at the Super Metroid map.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that shit is small. I used to think that was
massive. Dude, the Super Metroid map is like a third of the Hollow Knight map, if not, I'm like, if not a fourth. 5
times. Okay, fine. A 4 times bigger than. Well, we'll add consistency
here. Still, like, it's fucking it's huge. Huge.
And they even added what they had.
As big as. I'm kidding.
Missions cool. Anyways, they actually added sections with the updates they kept doing because they met Kickstarter goals. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, great. So now we could add in
There's like
the Hive.
Four different DLCs for this.
And there's going to be a paid one, too.
Ooh, sexy. Yeah.
Eventually, they're hoping to do a Hornet DLC, who's like a frenemy slash kind of like a proto man.
She's like one of the first bosses you face off against.
Kind of, but she's like more testing your
Oh, it's
your
a lady?
Murph.
It's a lady.
Cool. Yes.
Yeah. She appears to be
a
vessel.
She has a needle
well.
And thread that are her weapons.
And she's a Hornet, you said?
Well, her name is Hornet. Yeah. She looks like a taller beetle of some
well,
kind.
Well, I guess we could dive into like a second of lore. She's technically a daughter of the Spinstress, who was like the Spider Lord. Ah. So she's technically a spider.
Okay.
Interesting.
But she's also seems to be a vessel that was made by the seamstress because she has a similar mask to you.
Yeah.
And these vessels wear masks because there's the existential horror of not being a living thing and being something that was
behind
meant to contain a curse.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that way they can't shriek and scream. They have no mouths.
Cool.
So that's like, that's really dark. And you
yeah,
hear
that's
that
really
from
dark,
NPCs.
And that's spooky. Yeah.
NPCs are just whispering that to themselves.
That's cool as hell.
Yeah. So you're like, oh, I guess that's what I am, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess you're not actually a Hornet, that's just your name. But she fights with needle and a thread. So I think the thread gives it away.
So where did you end up getting stuck on Hollow Knight?
Well, right now I'm stuck in like one of like 3 different places because I have the multiple options at this point. I can either continue exploring the Crystal Caverns, Crystal Peak, whatever, and going like up and to the right in that area. Yeah. I can explore the resting grounds.
It's like the Royal Waterways is like where you technically should go next.
The Royal Waterways is where I'm
really
stuck.
Because you get
really
the ability
stuck.
To like swim in acid.
I haven't gotten that yet. Yeah. No, I have to beat the Dung Beetle boss and I just can't fucking beat him.
Really?
No, I can't. You said he was easy. Like for some reason, every boss that you have found difficult, I found easy.
It's like,
and
it's
every
vice
boss
versa.
That you have found
easy. It took me 15 fucking tries with David sitting there to beat Hornet. And he was like, I got the pattern, man. Just do this. And I was freaking out and jumping right
yeah,
under.
Yeah, no. I managed to beat Hornet the first try.
I beat like the Soul Master the second try and it took you 35 tries.
It took me really fucking weird. 55 tries. But yeah.
Yeah.
I legitimately wanted to give up. I wanted to quit playing because it was killing me.
Dude, it's Dark Souls.
Welcome to
hard.
My entire video game career.
Yeah. They had the Dark Souls-ness kind of comes from like a lot of games love this now. There's no such thing as a game over anymore.
Everyone compares the games to Dark Souls these
days. Well, that's because they you know, nowadays, thanks to Dark Souls, we don't really have a game over screen or we don't have a, hey, go back to the starting screen. We have like, oh, well, now you need to go back and collect your loot. You got to go re-earn everything you lost.
Yeah.
And Hollow Knight has that, because when you die, you leave behind your shade, which
you have to
fight, you know?
Oh.
Yeah, like, when you die, you get, like a shadow version of yourself that, like, bursts out of your body.
Right.
And then if you have to get back to that area and defeat that shade in order to get your shit back.
Interesting.
The worst part about that is that if it's in, like, a, like, you worked really hard to get there, unless you have unlocked this one particular area up top near your home base and have these things called rancid eggs, you won't be able to get your fucking shade back.
Yeah, after a certain point of the you'll start dying in places where you're like, I'm not going after my shade. Because I'm not, I died halfway through an immense platforming section.
Right.
I'm not going back in there. Because one, if when you die, your shade has all of your money, all the things you've earned. And sometimes it's like a lot. And so you figure, I'm not taking that risk because I'm not going to lose the 9,000 I just got.
Yeah.
So you go all the way back up to Dirtmouth.
Dirtmouth,
and you got to go to like a summoner who you can pay with rancid eggs. And okay, and they'll summon your shade right there to you.
Cool. Yeah.
Far right of the town, basically.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But that's the kind of the Dark Souls element is it's like, oh, you're not dead. You keep on living. However, you have like a reduced soul gauge because your character uses, that's how you cast your spells.
Yeah, when you defeat enemies or you just attack them, you gather this energy called soul, which you can then expend to fill up your life vessels, which are like heart pieces.
Yeah.
You know, like heart containers.
Containers, yeah.
Or use them to perform attacks.
Yeah, you're constantly, it's in balance. You're constantly having
bursts of soul and that do massive damage.
You have to like juggle, like, okay, do I want to spin this on wasting this soul blast attack, or am I going to want to heal myself? And that's like why boss battles are really scary. Because like you're hitting them, and, oh good, I'm earning soul, I can heal myself. Do I have time to heal, or should I waste it? Because most of the time you're not going to have time to heal.
Yeah.
Like, should I ace this and just start spamming my soul blast, or should I actually sit here and kind of stay stationary and start healing?
You got to balance everything. Yeah, it gets difficult to balance.
Yeah, it's definitely a game of juggling.
But is Hollow Knight a good game?
Oh, fuck yes, it's a good game. I would definitely not recommend it for newcomers.
Gotcha. Yeah,
but, this is like experience. Oh my god, like you have to know what you're doing. The precise amount of platforming you have to do, the precise battle mechanics, like you have to time your hits precisely and do perfect movements to dodge attacks. Like, I've been playing video games since NES came out. Mm-hmm. On NES, Game Boy, the whole thing. This is by far one of the hardest games I have ever played.
I getcha.
But it's so much fun.
Yeah.
And that lore element where you get to learn things about people.
Like, As you're going along.
Like, you talk about like Hornet and her backstory. I'm talking about this one little guy that I fucking love. When you first start in the game, as you're exploring, there's an area to the right where you can walk into an alternate entrance to the Crystal Peak Caves or whatever it is. And there's this little tiny little pill bug. And he's sitting there just, he's mining the ore, he's mining the crystals.
Right.
And he's humming, he's just sitting there fucking, it's adorable. Like, I can't imitate him. It's so fucking perfect. If you walk down and you talk to him, he's like, hello, friend, welcome to the caverns. If you want to help mining, you can sing a little song with me and the whole thing. And then he just goes back to mining. You can't actually sing a song with him and stuff. I think it's because your character can't talk. But it's... It's so sad because as you progress, there is this infection that is slowly taking over all of the bugs that are in the underground.
Hollowness.
Well, it works its way up. Because you're like in a tree, technically, and you're like working your way kind of... You said you're in the roots. I think you start from the top because dirt's mouth is like the flat of a dead tree. Because
it's the mouth of the dirt.
Right.
And you go into the mouth.
Oh, that does make sense. But you continually kind of go lower and lower. And then if you look at your map, you're seeing like branches down.
Yeah.
And you eventually go deep to the scary spider kind of place. Yeah, I figured you were just working your way downward.
Yeah. But you talk to this guy, and I guess as the game progresses, this infection is, like, infecting more and more people.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, you walk up, like, you walk in there, and he's not humming. And you're like, what's going on? And you walk over, and you talk to him, and he's just like, what's the meaning of life? What is life? What's the point of mining? What's the point of anything? I used to sing. What's the point of singing? And you're like, no, my friend, what happened to you? And then the game progresses more, and you come back again, and he's mining again.
Yeah.
But he's not singing.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, what's going on? Maybe he's just, he decided to keep going. What's going on? You go down to talk to him. He turns around and starts attacking you with a pickaxe.
Oh, my God.
And like, all that, rah, 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 attacking with a pickaxe. And it's terrible. Yeah. He's turned into a mindless, soulless monster. And I loved him. And no.
Yeah.
Well, you see, the Pale King... the ruler, former ruler of Hollow Knight, created the vessels, like you, the main character of the vessel, to contain that infection. No, I'm just kidding. I won't go any further than that. But that's like the amount of lore you're going to get.
Yeah,
not even directly fed to you. That's like you have to figure that out from the stuff you're
doing. Yeah. But it's so fucking sad. And that happens like with multiple different characters throughout the entire game.
Yeah.
Some people you rescue, some people you can't. But like, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's
the game is very morose.
Oh yeah, constantly. But it's still so fucking beautiful.
Highly recommended.
It is so beautiful.
Awesome.
Highly recommended. Now, if I had to kind of go like Messenger or Hollow Knight for those of you sitting on your Switches, like I should get an indie game.
They're about the same price, I think.
They are
like $15.
I would have to say the Messenger.
Really?
Yeah, lighter in tone, quicker. Played it.
I think my issue with the Messenger is he doesn't move very fast.
Oh, sure. Well, once you start getting more abilities and stuff, you're launching.
Because I was watching you. I watched you play against the green crystal rock monster
guy. That's way early on.
And you're like, I'm like, walk faster.
Yeah, no, that's early on. Eventually, you're grappling and everything's grappleable. So you're pulling yourself two people. And then when you hit them, you're kicking off of them. So you're also getting boosts of speed, also simultaneously attacking and destroying them.
Hmm.
So like they're not even in your way if you're doing that. So you're just boosting yourself all over the place.
Nice.
Yeah, you and your post-apocalyptic... white blonde haired ninja.
So the question is, the Messenger, Hollow Knight or Animal Crossing?
Well, Animal Crossing New Leaf, which is the one I'm playing, came out in 2012. Someone decided to remind me of that today, and I was like, holy fuck. We haven't had a new Animal Crossing game in 6 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit. But... And no, Pocket Camp does not count. Pocket Camp is not an Animal Crossing
game. No, it's
Hold on.
It's a cash grab.
I'll amend that. No, Pocket Camp.
It's a cash grab.
Pocket Camp is an Animal Crossing game. It's not a mainline Animal Crossing game, though.
Okay.
That's a popular thing to say these days.
Yeah.
Well,
they had to make an indie.
Let's go, Pikachu and Eevee's on a mainline Pokemon game. It's a remake of a mainline Pokemon game that makes it a mainline Pokemon game.
It is not Gen 8.
They used to ride these babies for miles.
It's not a boulder. What's wrong with you?
I thought it was funny. Anyway.
Was one of you guys offended by the fact that, like, it was like the internet. They were offended by the ninja's white, technically a white guy with blonde hair, blue eyes.
In the messenger?
Yeah, he's like this German, Austrian-looking motherfucker, like.
I didn't even know it was a controversy, to be honest.
Wait, he's a German-Austrian
guy? No, people were upset because, like, there's, like, concept art, or, like, at the end of the game, he kind of takes his mask off, and you can see he has blonde hair. Like, he could be Japanese, he could be kind of like an anime Japanese character, like, with the blonde hair. It doesn't mean he's, like, white,
Japanese
Caucasian.
People have blonde hair, yeah.
And people are like, well, they implied that the world was destroyed, and so everybody's a ninja now.
But hold on, you said he's like German?
I mean, like Aryan motherfucker, like blonde hair.
I know, just I'm picturing like, I'm a ninja.
No, well,
you say that, but there was an influx of 80s ninja movies made in Germany with white ninjas.
Oh my God.
So they might be goofily... God, now I'm just imagining Arnold. I'm imagining Arnold Schwarzenegger. The one thing he never did was a ninja film.
The Predator's coming out soon. So, like, I wanted to, like, you know, it's just Arnold on the mind. Maybe he might have a cameo in the movie. It's just fucking like, oh my God.
I'm just imagining, like, yes, Arnold, son, you must learn to jump from tree to tree, branch to branch. And I'm like, yes, I can do it. He falls
out of every fucking tree.
He's like jumping on trees, trying to grab them, but he's tearing them out of their roots. He's
like, ah, I'm the ninja.
I might as well just throw this tree at a guy instead of climb it. Arnold, son, you must learn to run on water as the ninja does. But he just fucking splooshes, like, hardcore face down.
I'm picturing him like, what's her name? Alita Battle Angel, like walking on the bottom of the ocean.
That's his ninja ability. They taught him how to breathe underwater.
Yes, that's the one he can master.
That's the one he can master.
The one he can master
for long periods underwater.
Yeah,
I just want to see a white 80s ninja film with Arnold as the main ninja now. That's like all I want out of life.
You're welcome.
But yeah, there was controversy. People were like, oh, it's a Metroidvania and it's not very good when it hits that point. Or it whitewashes a character that should be Japanese. There's a little bit of controversy, but it's I give it like a 10. I give it max score, man. I haven't had this much fun with an indie title probably ever.
So you give it 10
out of 10? Shovel Knight. I give it a full 10 out. It remains awesome all the way through, and it's not even that long, so.
What would you give Hollow Knight?
I'd give Hollow Knight a high 8. Like 8.9, like almost on a 9.
Gotcha.
But the difficulty does drive you nuts.
Yes. I would, just because of how difficult it is for people who aren't as skilled in those kinds of video games and precise timing, I'd say maybe give it a 7, but still call it one of the best games in its entire genre.
Definitely. Awesome. Fucking
just
incredible.
Because of how difficult it is, I'm lowering the score a little bit just because you have to be super talented in order to play this game.
Or good, or rely on your charms.
Hey, that's my thing for you.
Wait until y'all play Undertale, because that's one of the best indie games of all time.
I can't wait.
Well, that leads me to my next question. I was going to say, Madison, what would you give Animal Crossing New Leaf?
I love how we brought Animal Crossing. Like,
I know. We're going to talk.
Over there in the corner.
We're going to talk indie games. Totally. It's
just
because
we started recording mysteriously in the middle of her talking about Animal. I'm like, I'm going to do a cold open here. I'm going to start recording right here in the middle of her Animal Crossing. And now we have to bring it in.
I love Animal Crossing.
So what would you give New Leaf out of 10 points?
New Leaf? I don't know. I want to say high score 10 out of 10 just because, like, I've been playing it for so long and I have a very, very, very special place in my heart for Animal Crossing.
But does it have any faults?
blathers, spews lore at you just as much as the NPC
in Hollow Knight. Not anymore.
He used to. It's more like you give them,
oh, this book reminds me of something when I was a child. Oh, wait, sorry, I almost got cut off. Have a good day.
Yeah.
There was a time when the mayor of Animal Crossing made the souls of the damned scream for his entertainment. But I'm trying to imitate.
What?
The shit that you hear in Hollow Knight sounds like that. And you're like, did I just hear this person talk?
Fuck, you're going to talk about souls of torment. How about Cap'n and fucking Smash Bros. Driving Mario off the edge of the screen?
And featuring these
and now Isabelle trophies. In the newest trailer. It's fucking great.
She's boarding the bus straight to hell because that's clearly where Mario's going.
No, but I want to give it high marks. I want to give it a solid 10 out of 10. I love New Leaf more than anything. I can spend hours playing that game.
You love New Leaf more than me?
Shut up.
Obviously.
But I've known Animal Crossing longer than I've known you. You know I love you.
I read from the Book of Nook long before I'm trying to think. I drank from the turtle whale long before I met you.
Rayman's not considered indie, is it?
No, he's multi-platform.
Okay.
He's not really indie, no. Rayman.
No, that's Ubisoft. That's big. Okay. I didn't think so.
He kind of doesn't have his own console. There's nothing that's just him anymore.
I'm trying to think. Because I don't really play indie games.
Well, you played Shovel Knight.
You followed Undertale. I did.
And you're a huge fan.
And I'm still working on that game.
You're still stuck on the first boss.
I'm not stuck on the first boss. Fuck you. I passed it already.
It's the third boss. No, it's sorry.
What's her name? I'm stuck on Undyne, I think.
I don't know anything about it.
The warrior fishwoman who likes throwing spears.
I just know that I recently saw a video by Space Hamster where he was talking about Dragon Ball FighterZ mods.
Yes. You sent me that.
Yeah, and they have the Goten and Trunks fusing together. They're both Ness. And when they fuse together to become Super Saiyan 3 Gotenks, they turn into Sans.
They turn to Sans from Undertale, yeah.
Ness and Ness fuse in to become Sans. It's fucking great. Yeah. That's a specific reason why I said that.
And I followed Undertale very heavily. I still do because it's fucking fantastic. The story and everything, because that game's also a big lore heavy game as well. That game's fucking awesome. That game is fucking fantastic.
I can't wait to play it because it's finally. I feel it feels home on a Nintendo console because it's based off of Mother and
Well, I think it's
coming to Switch, so it's like, yeah, that's where it belongs. That's the version I'm getting.
Well, I think what's interesting is we're speaking of indie games. I just want to throw this out here really quick. Has anyone played Binding of Isaac?
No.
That was like the biggest game of 2017, 2016.
Yeah, I'd say around 2016, 2015.
Is this one? We've talked about this before, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. I'm not sure if you've ever seen anything since I mentioned it to you. It's a little kid who, shoots tears
out.
You
have told me about this, yes, but no, I haven't seen anything about it.
Creepy monsters.
Yeah, that was the...
Organ creatures.
Yeah, they said that was the really, really weird one. Yeah. And it was like, I heard that was like a darling for a long time. People loved that game.
Yeah, no, it was huge for a while. And they have it on Switch. It came one of the first games that came out to Switch. So.
I follow a lot of indie games, but I've never played them.
Yeah.
Like, Undertale is one of the big ones. Like, I follow fucking Five Nights at Freddy's. Like, nutcase.
I downloaded a Zelda Link to the Past style game called Blossom Tales.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried playing it for a bit, and I think the main problem I've got is that there's some timing interference between swinging your sword and actually hitting the person. So the sword will look like it hit them, and it won't.
Yeah.
And then they'll look like they didn't hit you, but they did.
Right. It's not so like a responsive. There's something going on there.
I mean, it's a fun game. Don't get me wrong. And it's very even the map is similar to Link to the Past.
I saw.
You play as a girl character with a sword. It's actually a really fun little game, but I find myself not really getting into it too much just because of that weird combat issue I'm finding.
Yeah.
With the sword timing.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty fun indie game, and I think the most the biggest indie game I've played in the past year or so on the Switch has been Yooka-Laylee.
Oh.
Yeah, we can't forget about Yooka-Laylee.
Can we?
Everyone did for very good reasons.
Because it took 5 years to fucking come out. They were like, we should have this done pretty quickly. Here's our idea. And then they extrapolated and it
didn't have the best... Didn't didn't have the best follow-up either, considering...
Well, there was issues. When the game came out, everyone had issues with the game for, like, camera reasons and other things.
Right.
And then they, like, within a month patched it.
Right.
So it worked fine, but at that point, everyone already dropped out of the game.
Yeah.
So, which is
very
sad.
A lot of people say if you go back, it's actually...
Yeah, I've been playing it. It's very fun.
Very good.
I find that I'm not skilled enough to complete it like I could Banjo-Kazooie. Mm. The 3D world in this game is much bigger and different than the ones in Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of precise platforming going up. A lot of the levels are a lot like Mario 64's TikTok clock. Where you have to, like, time your jumps
a lot of verticality.
Yeah, a lot of verticality in the game. And that's something I'm not very good at when it comes to 3D spaces.
Well, it's kind of rough because what you do is you start off the level a certain way and you remember it and you get used to it and then you expand it. Because you can spin your pages to expand the level into what it's really supposed to be.
Yeah.
And that's when they add, like, oh, they'll always add a central tower or something really large that you can scale. And that's why they add that vertical, like, element.
Yeah, I haven't played that in a while, but it's there on my Switch, and I have it sitting there.
It's apparently getting, like, a physical edition, and it sold out big time.
Really?
Yeah, so it proves, like, I mean, outrageously so. There's, like, people that are outraged, and it made the news, and game companies apologize to Tectonix or Playtonics.
Playtonics.
Like, they're apologizing profusely that they didn't understand there was this demand there. And, I guess this is, like, a big thing that happened, like, last week.
I didn't
And it's, like,
hear
I guess they're
it.
Releasing a physical edition for the Switch, and people really wanted it, and they sold out of pre-orders, like, instantly.
Well, that's awesome,
then. Yeah, and it's, like, I guess people do care and they do want to get back.
I think
they
patched out JonTron.
No, they did.
They did. That was before the game was even released.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, before the game even hit.
Well, now I might play it.
Yeah, that was like that was a while ago.
The rumor was that he was going to be the voice, I think, for Shovel Knight in the game.
No, he was like a dude in like a porta potty.
Oh, yeah, okay. Because Shovel Knight has a cameo in the game.
Cute.
Yeah, one of the first few levels, he shows up like,
I'm
looking for the gems on top of that mountain, and I can't get up there right now. So, yeah, like, you have to climb up there, get the gem, and bring it to him, and he gives you the pagey.
Oh, that's
pretty
cute.
Fun. Yeah. And he's 3D.
Yeah.
So, because the whole game is 3D.
Right. Actually, that's how he does look in Smash.
I was
going to
say,
that's exactly how he looks in Smash.
True,
The sentence almost went like this. It's how he would have looked had he been in Smash. Well,
you're like,
he kind of is.
No shit. He is in Smash.
And he looks like that. That's kind of the model they picked.
I love how in that video, like, everyone's duking it out, and then the moon from Majora's Mask comes in and kills everybody.
Smashes
except
him.
Shovel Knight.
Yeah.
He, like, hops in and just marching around.
Oh,
like,
he
survived. Everyone else died, but he's alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This apocalyptic cataclysm. Treasure. They're for chivalry. Anywho, that was, I suppose, our summer vacations in a nutshell.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask, are there any indie games that you guys are looking forward to in the coming future?
Oh, God. I have a list somewhere.
Well, there's that Undertale that's coming supposedly next week or a couple weeks from now.
Oh, yeah, we have Undertale coming out soon.
Mid-September's coming out.
It's on my list. I've been playing Iconoclasts.
What's Iconoclasts?
That was pretty big.
That's it's a game that came out for PS4 a while back, and it's been on PC for a while. But I've been following this game since it was in the alpha stages.
Right.
And I'm so happy that it finally came out, and I've been playing it on the Switch. But I got stuck at this one part where you have to, like, get your elevators to the right, like, three different elevators. You have to get them to the right level and, like, traverse through, like, tubing and shit to get to the right spot. And you can use the elevator as, like, a platform to stand on and stuff.
There's also Owlboy.
Oh, yeah, you played Owlboy.
And I still have it, and I never continued with it. I played the first, like, 4 hours, liked it, and then I just, it's not that I have, like, a lack of drive on it, I think other things came up.
Right.
And I plan on getting back to it, but I really enjoyed that quite a bit.
Didn't you play Shantae as well, or for the Switch?
Yes, Half Genie Hero. But that's kind of, it's a couple years old.
Back
from the Wii U era.
What was that game about the little girl and the hat? Hat Through Time.
That one's, it's not out for Switch yet, but it's coming.
Oh.
It's coming, yeah. It was for other systems.
What are we excited about? That's the one I'm looking for.
I really want to play that.
Everybody said this is what ukulele should be. This is what
it
we were promised
from the
with
start.
Ukulele.
Yeah.
Right.
Getcha.
I still like
it. Well, I still love ukulele.
Yeah, and I don't believe a Hat in Time is a collectathon like ukulele.
It is. It's a platforming collectathon.
Well, yeah, but that's like one hat per level. You only get like 25 hats.
Oh.
And this is not like we're in Banjo-Kazooie where there's like 100 Jiggies and like 400 Jinjos.
Oh, yeah.
And
the story,
you know,
feels more
100 music notes every
Those
level.
Those names sound like absolute made-up garbage.
Well, Jinjos are the little birdie things from Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, not garbage.
Jiggies are the jigsaw puzzle pieces.
It sounds like...
Well, that's the point. It's supposed to be cutesy
silly.
And yeah.
It's silly.
You literally meet a shaman named Mumbo Jumbo.
who turned you into different creatures.
Oh, Spyro comes out in November.
Supposedly.
Supposedly. Yeah.
It got pushed back. It might get pushed back again. We don't know. And we don't even know if it's coming to Switch yet. So
yeah.
There was that leak a while back where, like, I guess they announced it on Best Buy, like PS4, Xbox One, and Switch.
I saw.
And then they immediately got rid of the Switch because that's not right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I saw Achievement Hunter play, I think, the first level of Spyro because they got some, like, pre-something or other.
That's awesome. But
they had Jeremy Dooley play it, and he's, like, the biggest Spyro fan ever. It was very fun to watch.
I've never had a PlayStation, so I've never been able to play Crash Bandicoot or Spyro.
I didn't play the original Spyro or Crash, but I got into it through Crash Team Racing. I didn't have a PS2. My cousins had a PS2 with one of the sim games and Crash Team Racing. And Crash Team Racing was a game we all played together.
For those of you who don't know, sim games are not good games for consoles. Sorry.
So I hear.
Yeah. Just kind of like movie, based on the movie games.
Yeah.
Those ones are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love, like, the best thing. Another tangent, I apologize. One of the best things about the based on a movie game I ever played was the Hippogriff riding in the Harry Potter Prisoner of Azkaban video game for, like, GameCube. Problem was, you could beat the entire game in an hour and a half. But you could go out to the grounds and then just ride a fucking Hippogriff around the entire castle grounds and the lake and everything.
Oh,
and it was the best part of the game. Just like Spider-Man 2, the best part of that game was
the web swinging
around the city.
Oh, yeah.
You know, playing the actual game, who gives a shit? But the web swinging, that was fun.
Yeah, just exploring was really fucking cool.
The original Xbox Nightmare Before Christmas game was actually pretty fun. It wasn't based on the movie. It was supposed to be like a sequel.
Yeah, it was like Oogie Boogie's Curse or whatever. Revenge?
Yeah, that was because
I've heard about that.
My brother had an Xbox that was in his room, but he always let me play it. And that game's actually pretty kick-ass. Like, that game's pretty good.
Well, I think that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a few more games out there I'm definitely sure I have on my list. Like, I have it on my Nintendo Switch wish list.
Yeah.
But I can't remember them, and I don't want to go across the room to my backpack and grab them while we're recording. So, anyway, if you guys like indie games, feel free to shoot us an email at thinkbetweenworlds@gmail.com. Let us know what you're thinking about season 2 being here.
Or tweet us. Please tweet us.
Oh, yes. Tweet us. Twitter. @TBetweenWorlds on Twitter. It's super simple. Just tweet at us. Let us know what you're thinking. We've only got, like, this is sad to say, we've done a whole season of the podcast, and we've got, like, 10 followers on Twitter.
Hey!
But we have, like, 75 on Instagram.
Well, people like Instagram better.
Which is cool. We're mainly being followed by other podcasts, which is cool.
Which is cool, yeah.
Connectivity.
We'll become affiliates or something.
Yeah.
At some point, yeah.
Neat.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much. I've been David.
Oh, I'm Madison.
And I'm Derek.
Who are you again?
Yeah, who over there?
Here is
a parting thought, something to think about.
Parting thought.
David told me this, or asked me this earlier. What if the entire world's worth of cultures, every culture on the planet, has ninjas? But we only know about the Japanese ones because they were particularly terrible.
True.
On that note.
Ciao, folks.
Goodbye.
The Think Between Worlds podcast was created by David Kennedy Farner and Derek Dillon. It is hosted by David Kennedy Farner and Derek Dillon and is edited by David Kennedy Farner. It is produced by David Kennedy Farner, Derek Dillon, and Madison Sneddon. Intro music is by Midair Machine from the freemusicarchive.org, and outro is by Kevin MacLeod via incomtech.com, and cover art by Davy Jones. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you in World 2-2.